When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I got a lot of dates coming up. Friends, come and see me at Helium in Buffalo, August 8th through the 10th. After that, I'm going to be at Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida. All of the shows are sold out, and so we added an extra show on Sunday. You can find that at Side Splitters' website in Tampa. So if you couldn't get tickets, come and see me. I'm also going to be at the Wilbur, November 1st. Lots of more dates are about to get added to my website. You can find it at duncantrussell.com. Now on to the podcast. Welcome to the DTFH. Today's guest is Brendan Walsh, a.k.a. the King of Duster. You might know him from the documentary that just came out on Netflix, Duster Days, the story of Brendan Walsh. He created a fast food chain that catered to high school kids and offered flavored Duster with every meal. Of course, many kids are still in a coma because of Brendan's fast food chain, and I know what you're thinking. Why are you offering a platform to someone who caused many kids, teenagers, and some young adults to go into a coma because of his very powerful flavored Duster? My answer to you is this: if we stop having the conversation, what do we have? America is based on connection, not division. And the powers that be would love to tribalize us, to break us into sad little angry pieces and watch us fight like in the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe. I think differently than this. I think people like Brendan Walsh deserve a platform and deserve to be heard. Also, his story is more than just the story of an adult who poisoned over 17,000 high school kids. His story is a story of redemption. After serving 3 months in a low security prison, Brendan Walsh realized that he had what it took to become a great comedian. During breaks in the yard, he would make fellow inmates laugh. And as soon as he got out, he started doing open mics, and now he is a nationally touring club comedian. And even better, you can go see him live. He's got a wonderful show called Afternoon Delight, where he makes crank calls to people live. And I know what you're thinking. I don't want to go see a live performance by somebody who endangered the lives of so many young teens. But my response to you is this: if we don't go and see the shows of people who endangered young teens, then are we still a country? And what do we have? And now, everyone, Brendan Walsh.
Brendan Walsh, welcome to the DTFH. Dude, you got a new office, looks great. You've got some kind of certificate behind you. That's the first thing that sticks out. Yeah. What is that? What's that certificate?
That's my doctor of metaphysics degree from the Universal Life Church.
So what is a doctor of metaphysics? Is that like when angels fall, you've got to do surgeries on them? Because that's a fucking thing that just happened is my kids found an angel in the yard, much smaller than I thought. I always thought they were like human size. Maybe you could talk about that, but we all thought they were human size. This was the size of like a chihuahua, very beautiful being, broken wing. And we had no idea what to do or what to feed it. Like, we were just trying to feed it like mac and cheese, and it died on us.
And it was an angel?
Yeah, for sure.
You sure it wasn't a cicada or a moth?
I mean, it looked like a moth.
Do you mind if I just kind of scroll through Twitter while we're doing this?
I love that. Yeah, I love that so much. I'm getting a colonic right now.
I know a guy when I lived in Austin. His name is Scott Colonico.
No. That's brutal, dude.
He's a filmmaker. I don't think he got a lot of grief over the name.
What movies has he made?
He made he has this one called the something beside the bed, the idiot beside the bed or something. He takes these like archival presidential recordings, and there's one where JFK, when they were having John JFK Jr., when what's her name was pregnant with him, they had the Air Force or Army, some branch of the military, set up like a bedroom thing on some kind of base, so yes, she could be comfortable in case she went into labor or whatever,
right?
And somehow there was like a photograph taken of this, like, you know, nice bedroom thing.
Yes.
And it was leaked to the press, and mm-hmm. there's like, you know, an Army guy standing next to like this, you know, the bed in the bedroom suite. And then in the press, it's like, president spends $3,000 to get a bedroom made or whatever. Like, it was like, you know, some salacious story in 1960 or whatever.
Right.
And then there's a phone call with the president, with the press secretary. And he's just like, well, who's that idiot next to the bed? Like, how did this get out there? And Scott made a documentary. It's not the idiot next to the bed. I mean, I could Google it.
What was the documentary was on who that guy was?
No, it's just about that story. And then he has recordings. Like, he has, because you can go to presidential libraries and get, you know, just recorded. They used to record every phone call in the
and
White
it's public,
House.
It's public domain, right?
Public like domain,
you could do
yeah.
anything you want to with it. That's so cool.
And so he would get these recordings of presidential phone calls and just kind of, you know, make little documentaries about it. And there's one of LBJ where he is, he's ordering pants, and he's talking about how the Hagar, you know, the Hagar clothing company.
Yes.
So he's talking to like Sammy Hagar, whoever the guy, whoever runs the, you know, the guy, the main guy, he's the president. And he's talking about how he likes his pants, but he talks about how he's like, well, I don't like them to bunch up on my nuts. It's just these, sorry.
Are you sending a fucking email? What are you doing?
I'm looking up the idiot next to the bed. Whatever. Yeah, I'm
we
sorry.
We don't need that.
Okay.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, listen, man.
I don't have a Jamie. I don't have someone to pull it up. Just let them, the audience.
Well, I have another computer over here.
They can use their imagination.
And I've also, like,
this.
You're dealing with, I think I'm, you
what
know.
What am I dealing with here? What is this?
Well, speaking of wigs, you're not wearing, you got the new spray on wig.
We weren't talking about wigs, and this isn't a spray on. I would never do a spray on. The adhesive they use for spray ons, it gives me a full body rash. So I cannot do the adhesive. Okay. When I put that stuff on, I like, you should just see what happens to my body. It's like Toxic Avenger, and nobody knows what it is. So this is a Delver Williams original that was made specially for me. Isn't it incredible? It's like, it even does, like, you see this, like, underneath this is like a full head of hair. So, how fucking cool is that?
That's awesome. Yeah, this, I just go with the, this is a, the hair is attached to the visor. So it's
I know, but it still looks like you have a full head of hair. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you want to pull off the receding hairline, balding 50-year-old look, dude, you're, you know, that shit with the long
hair.
Not
really.
Is out.
Do you want me to take the visor off? It's not really receding. I mean, I don't want to be slamming.
No, I'm saying that's what's in right now.
Okay. Well, don't
like
nag
I
me.
Like and when I like I, you know, no matter what I do, my hair just comes back fast. So I just gave up and got a wig.
No matter what you do, your hair just comes back fast.
I shaved it. I shave it and it just, boom, shoulder length in a couple of days. And it's crazy. This is like, it's called Rapunzel syndrome. Oh. And my dad had it. It's brutal. You know, it sounds great for guys who are dealing with like thinning hair, but it's fucking horrible, man. Like the amount of the barber bill every month for me exceeds $30,000.
Actually, I knew a guy who lived in Austin named Barber Bill.
No, you did not.
He was a yoga instructor, though. But also, his assistant was named Matt, and we called him Yoga Matt. So it was Barber Bill and Yoga Matt.
You know what I love about the Kalanico story? I love people like that. Like, I remember a long time ago, I did this interview with Mark Duplass, and he was saying in the podcast, he's like, you know, a younger me would be like, what are we should be making stuff right now. Why the podcasting thing, all of it. He's like, just go and make movies. And like indie people like that who just do it, they subvert this like antiquated, slow moving system that drives people insane.
Yeah.
And I love that. Anytime anybody just makes something and then somehow figures out a way to publish it so people are aware of it, that is so badass, man. I mean, do you ever fantasize or ask yourself if you'll why you don't just make a movie? Like, why you just don't start? Because you're a great writer. I'm sorry. You wrote on the Midnight Gospel. You're so funny, man. And like, what do you think is getting in between you and just doing the thing that every indie filmmaker makes? And I'm asking myself this too, and all creatives out there.
It's a budget. I mean, money is something that stands in the way of, you know, a lot of, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to be anti-rich kid, whatever. But, you know, it's hard. When you don't have money, it's hard to do things.
Well, think of Linklater.
Yeah.
He makes Slacker.
He got $8,000 to make Slacker, I think. Or no. Robert Rodriguez, I think, made his El Mariachi for $8,000.
Yes.
You can do it.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. The passion has to be there.
Yeah, like there's so many examples of people who just, and like, you know, there's an aesthetic to it. There's like some kind of entire philosophy around like, okay, forget about what you don't have. Use what you have right now and make the thing with that. So it completely eliminates the ability to do funding procrastination because it's like, okay, this is what I have. And then how, with what you have, would you make a movie?
Yeah.
And then you just do it. And like, I'm always fascinated by that because myself included, so many people who are comedians, writers, whatever, we're always like pitching.
Yeah.
We're, you know what I mean? And that ends up consuming so much time instead of like, fucking just make this shit.
Yeah. Well, the pitching, getting put into the Hollywood machine of that process is just doom for any kind of artistic endeavor. Like, if you're passionate about something, yeah, you can figure out a way to do it. And if you really don't have any money, you know, you need to build a team because you need help. You can't do everything on your own. So you have to find like-minded people who are going to go with the flow of what you want to do and have the same, like, kind of get your vision without interrupting it, you know, with like, well, I think we should do it this way or this. And you're just, where you just have to constantly be like, can we just try my way first? And I'm open to suggestions, but this is the idea that I have. I mean, if you look at any, like, I just watched, it's not a documentary, but it was pretty good. It was about the making of The Godfather, The Offer, it's called. I don't know, it's streaming on some whatever bullshit, Paramount, whatever. One of the four services that are owned by the one company.
Yeah.
That's just an example. Every movie that like changed the world, like The Godfather, Reservoir Dogs, Blazing Saddles, you read about the making of the movie and half of it is about fighting with the studio saying, we're not going to release this. This is shit. We're not going to, this doesn't make sense. This isn't how it works. This is bullshit. And like somehow they fight their way through, it gets released. And it's just like, and then the weekend it was released. Like Star Wars is another one where they just, Star Wars, they thought was going to be a total just like piece of shit. They're just like, nobody's going to watch. This is a space opera.
Yeah.
And it's so just like out there. Nobody wants this. And it's another one where they're like, the cast, the crew, everybody was just like, this is going to be like some B movie.
Right.
Nobody's going to care about it. And then you read about, you know, like The Godfather, Reservoir Dogs, Blazing Saddles, Star Wars, any movie you can think of that like changed the landscape of pop culture and changed the world. You read about the production of it, and it's all about the studios like, we're gonna do this. If you try to do this, we're gonna take this away from you. We're not gonna release it. And then it comes out, and then every single one is just like, and then it was released, and it blew out every box office record ever in existence.
They don't know. That's the thing. If they knew, they wouldn't need people to make stuff for them because they would make it themselves. And yet, they still inevitably there's this conflict where they think they have some sense of what's going on. And you know, I get the paranoia. Like if I am some executive and I squeeze the trigger on some fucking thing, and I've gone into whatever godforsaken meeting those people have to go into, and you know, your career as an executive, your standing in whatever the company is that you're in is always at risk. You're in hell. And so, you know, you're using your own sense of intuition and you're just thinking, oh, I'm dead. I'm dead in the water here. No one's going to watch this fucking shitty Star Wars. Who's the dude in that fucking stupid black costume? This is expensive and horrible. But
you're an executive. It's
hold on 1 second.
Sorry.
People watching or listening, you just forgive me. I'm in Texas. I'm still doing my old studio and it's fucking hot as fuck. And I'll die, which would be good for download numbers, but I gotta get the AC on. I'm so sorry, everybody.
You use a witch's broom to turn on the AC?
Yeah. You know, a witch, that was the crazy thing is that when the angel fell in my yard, we saw a witch in the sky chasing it. And this, I guess they were in a war or some kind of battle, and this fell out. And well, now I use it to turn on my AC.
That's another thing about like, you know, not to be about the olden days, but you know, witches' brooms, you used to see them. They were like, you know, it was like well-made, handcrafted wooden stick. And now you see the last witch I saw flying around, she was on a Swiffer. And it's like all corporate.
It's inflation. It's inflation, dude.
It's branding. It's marketing.
It's let's go, Brandon.
And also you can't...
it's Brandon.
Where do you get... I have t-shirts that I made that say, let's go, Brendan. Or just for me. Like to. I mean, I sell them. They're on...
Yeah, I know. It sucks, man. I feel bad for witches, and it fucks up their did you know that, like, the flying...
Wait, what were we talking about?
Before we get back into making movies, did you know that flying witches, the ones who can ride brooms, because not all of them can, their vaginas are upside down?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
But that's only Italian witches, right?
I mean, I've only slept with Italian witches, but yeah. So go ahead. What were you saying about the...
I don't remember what we were talking... You caught me. I'm still leveling out with my like Xanax coffee intake. Like it's like
you're
the coffee's
speedballing.
A little. No, it's not. Well, whatever. I shouldn't get into my medical.
It's a speedball.
Well, coffee, caffeine, everything that affects whatever. I'm so sensitive to caffeine. And I like woke up a little, you know, I was getting started a little earlier today and went to stupid Starbucks, which Starbucks coffee is like way stronger than it needs to be.
No, it's not strong enough.
Well, then, yeah, I don't know. Everybody's chemistry is different. That's
why
some people can smoke weed all day.
Downer people, man. You're a downer. You're not literally a downer, but you guys are into downers. Like, are you fucking kidding me? We want to be hummingbirds. We want to be injected, spiked.
I'll fly off the face of the earth if I get more. I don't stop moving. I'm like a hummingbird where I'm just like, lately... I'm working from the time I wake up until the time I go to sleep.
We used to put Xanax in our hummingbird feeders so that we could like see their wings because like their wings move too fast. So if you put Xanax.
That's a funny idea to dose, like put some LSD in your hummingbird feeder and just see what the hell happens. You know?
One thing I do love about technology right now. And one thing that I think is interesting is that, I mean, we're already seeing this like incredible disruption in this industry that nobody thought could be disrupted because of technology, because of suddenly, you know, you've got like people on TikTok, you know, just like filming themselves driving Uber who have become as famous, probably as like the most famous person was back in the 60s. And that was never supposed to happen. Like that, just that alone is such a sign of this like monolithic dam just breaking into pieces and spraying like geysers of weirdness into the zeitgeist. You know, it's like the idea was you have like this, a few companies that are choosing who they think could be a star and based on like a really specific set of characteristics, which produce the idea of the leading man. This is what they look like. You know, they're heterosexual, symmetrical, whatever the fuck. And now the whole thing's falling apart.
But it's all bullshit now. It's like TikTok and all that stuff. It's not art. It's like everybody just has like it's just voyeuristic. It's like Maury Povich. It's like everybody can produce their own Maury Povich.
I want to challenge you on that. Let me challenge you on that. This is something I remember when I first started working at the Comedy Store, and I've seen so many waves of it now. An old comic would come in and watch a young comic on stage with a look of someone watching like a nuclear bomb go off over their city. It's over now. Whatever this is not comedy. And they would say it. They were so bitter and angry because their entire act had been developed over years to match some idea of, oh, this is comedy. And then suddenly you've got like David Cross. And they're like, what the fuck? They're just up
but
there.
That's all dependent on who that comic is. I mean, you can say that about, you know, some hack older comic who comes in and is just like, I don't get this, but it's like, you never got anything before. Cause like, think about like Rodney Dangerfield, who was an old guy and would see people like Sam Kinison and like Norm MacDonald.
Think of Andy Warhol. people said that about him. It's like some new medium emerges. Right now it's social media. And yeah, definitely within that medium, there's stuff that I don't find even slightly interesting and somewhat like apocalyptic in its qualities of how incredibly vapid it seems to be and how like absolutely boring and uninteresting to my old ass it seems. But there is like a movement. It's an art movement that for sure doesn't look like anything we would think of as art, but it has its own aesthetic. It has its own structure. It has its own cadence. Like they all kind of talk the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not good though.
Well, it's an emergent form.
Right.
You're looking at an evolving form. Like something will pop out of it that will totally be incredible, artistic. And probably there's already stuff on there that is. Like I think it's just as much art as any other thing out there.
I think what the problem is that everything is just too easily accessible now. And I think anything that's worth anything takes a little bit of legwork. Like nothing organically spreads anymore. It's like, oh yeah, you get this Hawk-2-y girl or whatever, but it's just, it's easy. It's just this easy bullshit. But like, think of like things, again, like, you know, like music. Like, do you remember the first time you heard that Violent Femmes album, the first Violent Femmes
Incredible.
Album?
Incredible.
But remember, and how did you hear it? Somebody played it for you. Like, I remember exactly where I was. I was a freshman in high school. I mean, the album was probably already 5 years old at that. I don't know when. I think the album came out in 1983 or something. But this kid had a tape, and he's like, did you? Because I think I had Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction. Because when I heard that, I was just like, what is this? This is something. Yeah. It clicked with you.
Yeah.
And then it organically spread. Like there wasn't this monster. There weren't these promotional machines. It was like these things popped up, like the Violent Femmes, which is like nobody ever heard folk punk. Like what the fuck is this? I never heard anything like this. This kid Adam had a cassette tape. I listened to it and was just like, what is this? There were two times when I was in high school, that kid Adam with the Violent Femmes album, and I was just like, this is something I want to see more. I want to find out what this is all about. And then there was another guy on the bus who had Master of Puppets by Metallica and was like, have you ever heard this? And I put it in my Walkman and was just like, I've never heard anything like this. What is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, maybe it's fogey talk, but I think when you get to the nucleus of good things, like there's that, the organic spreading of like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Nirvana. That was like a video that was put on MTV at fucking 11 o'clock at night. And the million people who were watching TV at that time saw that. And the next day, everybody was calling, what was that? What was that? We want to know what that is. So, and it wasn't like, you know, just this nonstop, this is what you like. This is what you like.
No,
this is what you like.
Dude, it's so what you're talking about is the death of this like ritual. It was a ritual. So the ritual is you have this magical item. It's the Descendants. It's a Daniel Johnston tape. It's Sebado or some shit. And you are hanging out with a kid who has yet to be introduced to something that isn't on the radio. And then you play it for them. You're stoned. And you watch their face.
Why do you have to be stoned?
Because you were fucked. Don't act like you weren't stoned.
Not
that
in
was
high
part
school.
Of the. Shut the fuck up.
Okay. I'll be quiet for the rest of the podcast. Sorry.
Oh, good.
It's your show.
Well, do us all a favor.
Go ahead. Rattle on about your being high as a child.
First of all, I wasn't a child. I was in my 20s when I was in high school. I got held back. That thing is like definitely like a defining moment for a lot of people artistically. And you're totally right. Like, yeah, that thing has been replaced by an algorithm that has been programmed based on capitalist interest and whatever the ethical moral standards are of the company, promoting material and legal issues. And so everything is instantaneously put through some kind of filter that on the other side of it, you're seeing some neutered stuff. I mean, the classic example of this would be when YouTube started cracking down. Like, yeah. YouTube used to be the go-to place. It was my favorite thing to do. Look for videos with the lowest amount of views.
Yeah, I used to do that every night laying in my bed.
Oh, you would find some of the craziest shit on there. And it was so
awesome. 2015-ish. 2015, 16 is when it started going away.
Yeah, and they stopped doing that. And so we lost this like way of peering into like some very bizarre, fringy corners of the world. Also, the dead internet theory covers this pretty well, which is like websites used to look completely different than they do now. Like, people would make their own websites. They would have bulletin boards, message boards, and all of that stuff has been co-opted by corporations because it's easier to go on Reddit than it is to figure out a way to get on some private server. The closest thing we have is like Discord, which is incredibly highly super moderated. And so this way of sort of like, you know, being invited into the underground by your cool friend, you're right. Like if you have become a phone addict or something like that, you are probably not experiencing that. And the closest we have to it now is someone DMs you like a TikTok clip or some shit, which is nothing close to it. So you're totally right.
But there are some things like I sent you that video. Remember the guy, he's driving and he's talking about how he's like loves sucking cock.
Yeah,
it's like an old guy, and I did my own version. Did I send you that? Where it's like
you did. It was so funny.
But like there are certain things like that, because that I don't know where that came from. That's something that's just like certain people, you know. It's funny because then you find out. That's when you realize that you have found your people. You know, like everywhere you go. Like you and I both moved away from home at a certain time.
Yeah.
and like, you know, just we're on our own. And looking back, it's like you find these people that you're like, okay, this is, we're from the same planet. Like whatever, wherever the fuck we came from, we're from the same planet. This is a guy or a girl that okay, this is, we're going to be connected for the rest of our lives. Even if we don't talk to each other for 8 years at a time. Which goes back to the making, you know, making your own films and stuff on your own. Like you have to find, it can take years to piece together the puzzle pieces that you need to make these things that require more than just you. And a good shortcut to that is rich parents that I found. That's something that I learned over the years when I just couldn't figure out things about people. Because where I grew up, everybody was the same. Their dad was a cop or a fireman or some kind of like union guy.
Right.
And then when I like moved to Austin and stuff, like I was never around like where it's just like, oh, your dad owns Exxon. Like you're fucking, because I wouldn't figure, and people who are like that, and this is, I'm not slamming them. I'm not like classist, whatever. This was just me figure that I was like, oh, that cracked the code in my head, because there would be guys who were like, you know, hanging out all, I'm just like, oh, they're just always out every night at the bar. And, you know, they're just always doing things. I don't think they have a, like, what do they do for a living?
Yeah.
Cause like, I'm going to fucking work. Like I have to, you know, I'm constantly like, oh, I have $25 in the bank. I have to like go and do carpentry.
Yeah.
So I get $300 so I could pay my rent. And I'm just like, how does that guy do it? He has a nice place too. And then one girl told me one time, she's like, well, there were a couple of times where, either way, she's like, oh, well, you know that, you know, he pays for everything with that American Express card. That's his parents pay
that. God.
and they pay his rent and everything. Oh, and you're like, oh, and it wasn't even like, it wasn't judgmental. I was just like, oh, that makes sense. And there was another time with a guy, and I was like living on his couch. I was homeless. I was sleeping on his couch.
Yes.
Until I could figure out how to get a place again. And he, that's the thing, you know, people who, I mean, that's like, if you do grow up poor, people who didn't do that really romantic, they're just like, wow, because you have these legitimate stories that are unbelievable.
Yes.
To people that are just like, well, you know, where they're just like, well, why don't you just call your dad? Like, why don't you just get money if you needed money?
And you know what's super ironic about it is that somewhere in the line, in that line, the lineage of wealth, there's a person who was exactly like you were, who had nothing, some fucking immigrant, who like worked their fucking ass off and got rich enough that their kids didn't have to worry about anything. And then their kids didn't have to worry. And that's where it gets really weird, is because what ends up happening is this warping effect where the initial scion or whatever, the main person was this some rugged non-victimy survivalist
murderer. Yeah, I mean, like it's pirate. Like this, it's like my grandfather and my, or your great great grandfather was like a steel bar, like he invented the railroads or whatever, and it's like that guy was industrious, he murdered people, he had the fucking like fight to make this thing happen. It would take the murder out of the equation. But then
you shouldn't take it out of the equation, because that do you know who Buckminster Fuller is?
Have you ever read him?
Okay. So this is what Buckminster Fuller said, you know, pointed out that at one point we didn't know the earth was round. I know you still don't believe that, Brendan, but most
because,
of us do.
Well, we'll get into that later, but yeah, I have more proof about it.
Okay. Well, anyway, so they didn't know. They thought the earth was flat. And whatever area they were born in, just because of a lack of modes of transportation, that's pretty much the world for them. So everyone was living in these little microcosms. And then people figured out how to, you know, make a boat. And then people figured out how to make a better boat. And then this was the pirates. And so now you go out in your fucking boat, you find some microcosm of people who didn't even know that could work. They didn't even know there were other lands. The fucking Vikings, they were like this. And you just pillage. You fucking take their shit. You say, I'm your king now, or you're dead. And so this is the way civilization became what it is, which is really interesting, because pirates were democratic. Like, a lot of the pirate ships, they would vote. And a lot of the way that we run things now is like some sort of evolved version of pirate code. So you are not wrong in pointing out that somewhere upstream, or I guess up the temporal stream, there are very violent people who were like fucking like bad ass, dude. Like they knew how to sail. They knew diplomacy. They knew how to sword fight. They knew how to write poetry. They knew exactly.
Because you have a vision. Like, if you're in 1809 and you have a vision for, like going back to the, you know, studios being like, you know, Reservoir Dogs, it's too violent. It's going to have to be rated X. This is never coming out. And then boom, it comes out. So take that, put that in 1809, where a guy's like, I have an idea for, you know, you put rails on the ground and you have these things that are steam powered that go across the entire country. Yeah. And everybody's just like, that guy's fucking crazy. We should fucking kill it. So you have to legitimately, like, forget about arguing with suits at Paramount. You have to be like, I need to fucking do this, because this is going to change the fucking world. And anybody who gets in my way has to get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
No matter how it's done.
Yeah.
And so you have these guys in 1809 who like fucking make it. They do it. They didn't get murdered when they're trying to change, you know, because it's like somebody's going to try to kill you too. You're not this like invincible JP Morgan being. So you have this vision, you make it there. And then it's like, you know, this industry you created. So there's just billions of dollars, which are worth zillions of dollars now, you know, in inflation. Yeah. So now generationally, his kids never, you know, it's like they have fucking, you know, flying, they have little airplanes they fly around, whatever. They're just, they're set.
They're and set. Then,
so, but those kids maybe have a little bit of, you know, because they're raised by the guy who fought his way to make his dream happen. So they get a little bit from him and they're like, oh, wow, dad is the coolest. Dad did this shit. Oh, that's how the world works. Maybe I'll do something. And then they go and they have a vision and maybe they create like a little thing because they have all the money in the world. They're just like, hey, I have an idea for, you know,
Tesla
grab or whatever. And so then they do it. And then their kids who were raised by this watered down version of the real industrious guy are like, yeah, I guess I could. Yeah, my dad, I guess. Yeah, if you have a bunch of money, you can do whatever you want. Maybe I'll go and, you know, do yarn art or whatever. And then they do that. And then they have kids. And so then it just gets watered down to where generationally it's just like a rich kid raising another rich kid, raising another rich kid who never did anything. So there's just like no skill set except I have money and I can do whatever I want, but I don't know what I want. Like, oh, what's that guy doing? Oh, that guy seems cool. Oh, he's in a band. I want to have a band. I can hire the most expensive studio and a bunch of people. I can have a band. I can be the Strokes. I think that's how the Strokes happen. Not to slam them, but like, you know, when it's just like, I could just piece together something. It takes no struggle, no.
Okay. So vision. This is your, so this is like, I love we're talking about this. So this is, this conversation is a conversation about everything right now, which is Terrence McKenna talked about this. As we get closer to the singularity, the amount of time between something you envision and its manifestation in the world.
Wait, Terrence McDonald, the guy who invented McDonald's.
Yeah, Terrence McDonald, really into psychedelics, wrote a lot of books. A lot of people don't know that, but like
the- He made McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Did you know this about, since you're talking about fast food, you know the that burger chain, Carl's Jr.?
Of course.
Do you know who started that?
No.
Carl Sagan's son. That's why it's called Carl's Jr.
Oh, yeah. I get that, man. Yeah. Pale Blue Dot. I remember the Pale Blue Dot meal.
Yeah.
The
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So wrapped up in the idea of success or how to get things done is this concept of pain. That there is almost like a injection of personal suffering that has to go into creation, or the creation itself is not as valid.
No, I think not necessarily. I don't think it's pain, but I think it's just work. Like,
I mean,
work,
could be right.
Which is struggle, which is some
energy.
Level of struggle
and
work.
A big expenditure of energy. The idea is, because to blow up the fucking balloons that have made modern civilization required a lot of fucking air. And now with technology blowing up those exact same balloons, it doesn't take any air at all. You don't have to use your air at all. A super intelligence will do it for you. And so this is a fascinating cultural problem, because we have begun to associate success with the suffering that anyone who's succeeded has gone through to get to that point. This is a thing that people say all the time, which is apparently not true. It's bullshit. If you win the lottery, your life collapses. That's what people say. That's not true. That's right. Just something that people started saying. people who win the lottery.
Well, it's because a couple of people went into crazy and bought a golden, you know, house.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of the times that isn't the case. And yeah. so this, I have it in me too. This idea that there needs to be a sufficient amount of suffering to validate something that I've created. This is probably in our DNA because that is how everything got created. But now it's changing. Now it isn't like that anymore, and it will get increasingly different. It won't be like that anymore. The notion of struggle as we understand it is going to seem archaic. Like that, well, yeah, they had to fucking struggle because they couldn't instantaneously employ drones to build something or nanobots to construct something, or they couldn't, or CRISPR to like create some fucking.
Well, it takes away the organic evolution of things too, which is part of the
natural selection.
Yeah. How, wait, is that where the cavemen and the dinosaurs were here 6,000 years ago on the flat earth? That thing, yeah. I was telling you, I sent you that article.
Dude, I agree that the cavemen and the dinosaurs were at war. Yeah. And I know that's why they got wiped out, the dinosaurs.
But that's all part of the flat earth thing that I sent you.
Yeah, but
so
I don't believe
that. If you believe that, well, how can you, well, then that's just, you know. How can you buy into the fact about the caveman dinosaur wars?
The caveman dinosaur wars is accepted by every archaeologist and scientist around the world.
Okay, and where did it happen? On the flat earth? Because they talk about the edges of the earth.
Why does the earth have to be? What?
That's just the way it is. What do you mean, why does it have to be flat? Why does U2 have to have Bono as the singer? It's just the way it is.
The earth used to have an attached ring, which gave the impression that it was flat. So it's just like, think of walking off the edge of a table sitting on a ball. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. It was like the earth had essentially a table. And so a lot of people were living on top of
it. It is like a table.
No, it's a table. That table's, the sides got blown off during the wars.
No.
And then that's okay. You should read
the article I sent you.
I just had someone on the podcast who was talking about the dinosaur caveman wars and the theorizing on how they blew up the side table, as it's called.
Well, I wasn't talking about that kind of evolution. I was talking about it all goes together, like organic, like talking about the Violent Femmes, Nirvana, you know, Guns N' Roses, like I just keep using music example. I think Violent Femmes is the best example for something that, you know, just was like completely different. But the, not to just use pop culture, you know, music and movies or whatever, but the organic kind of growth of things where it's just like, hey, this guy, like the Jerky Boys. Do you remember the Jerky Boys before they were officially released when the tapes were just being passed around?
Yeah.
Like that's like that shit. It can still happen. We have the means to make it happen easier than ever, but it's like, it's not, that's, the cream's not rising to the top because there's so much static out there of just algorithm-based.
It's the radio. It's just the radio. You're just talking about the radio. People don't realize it's the radio.
Imagine like the radio when you found like the cool college station when you were a kid or whatever. But if there were 4 million radio channels that you had to go through, you wouldn't find that because there's 4 million radio channels playing the same. Well, computer-generated shit.
This is what produced the underground. I mean, the underground is always a reaction to default reality. So the underground there's some, just what you're saying, a hydra of content that just is spewing out shit and nullifying. If you have become convinced that it's representative of the world, which so many people have, and it's an easy thing to trick yourself into thinking, then yeah, it's the same thing as like hearing the radio and thinking that's all music. which people would think. They didn't even know. They had no idea. But dude, it's still the same. Guaranteed. It's still the fucking same. I mean,
I'm not saying it's different. I'm just saying that there's a lot more sludge you have to trudge through. It's like another example. And I'm just starting to embrace technology in figuring out like, oh, this is very useful. Like Wikipedia or whatever. I just read about Anthony Perkins, the guy who played in Psycho. That guy is fascinating. His Wikipedia page is 100 pages long. Like, it's like the longest Wikipedia page I've ever seen.
I love that you're like, I'm embracing technology, and you mention Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, but in the sense that like the tools that are available that you can use for useful purposes, not seeing tits easily, or zoning out to TikTok or Instagram. Like the tools that are available. And what I was going to bring up to compare to what I'm talking about sifting through bullshit is when you go to buy something online and then you go and you look at the reviews, it's like, oh, well, it has 5-star reviews. And then you go, I'm going to read these reviews and just see what it says. And it's all fucking bot bullshit. Bots are paid for by people where it's like, I got a free thing. So they said, if I write this review, so you're like, oh, now I don't, you know, okay. So these reviews are useless. There's no way. And I think that is just, that should be like the highest crime in the land right now. Like people who muddy the waters, like when you're on Craigslist trying to, you know, find a fucking bunk bed for your kids. And there's ads where it's just like, you know, $1 and you go and it's like, this is some garbage warehouse. Get the fuck out of here. Why are you fucking muddying the waters for everybody? And the same with the ads. I think that should be like you should be punished. There should be a severe criminal punishment.
Like what would you do?
Spam shit. Send them to jail for a little bit, or send them, do something like take away. It's like you're in cyber jail. You're not allowed to have a fucking computer for a year, asshole, for doing this shit. 'Cause you're making life harder for everybody else. Like everybody who's trying to just fucking buy a thing to put the shoes on in their house, you know, like, and then they go on the Bed Bath and Beyond fucking website and they go, oh, this one, oh, okay, this one's a fair price, let me read the reviews, and it's all from fucking broken English, Philippine, it's from the manufacturer, and then you buy the thing and it's the biggest piece of shit you've ever fucking had in your life. You're like, these motherfuckers, like, this is making my life, I shouldn't be spending any time thinking about a goddamn shoe rack. Jesus. And now it's a whole week long fucking
Jesus
thing
fucking fucks, dude. The
We're just muddying the waters, like fucking emails that you get. That's fucking spam shit. And they're getting better, like where you almost get tricked sometimes where you're like, wait, what is this? And then you're like, oh, motherfucker, why? What the fuck? I'm just trying to get through my day. And now I'm like getting, you know, bombarded with people trying to trick you and people lying and, you know, like these fucking products. Like,
well, dude, you're definitely describing this sort of medium, the medium of the thing. And what I love about it, you know, and I you know, I don't know this for sure. But I like, you know, that maxim, as above, so below, you can kind of like,
wait, you know, Maxim magazine, what issue was that? Who was on the cover?
108, issue 108.
Oh, is Candy, that with Rachel Tart. Ray?
No, Candy Tart. God bless her. Candy Tart.
I don't know if I have that.
Well, regardless, in that issue, they were talking about the idea, as above, so below, that you can understand like the entire universe just by looking at your own life, because most of us are generally the same. And so, you know, one example of that being like, obviously, there's a hierarchy of intelligence in the world. You know, there's like some animals are clearly more intelligent than other animals. Some people are more intelligent than other people. And so from that, you can sort of think like, oh, fuck, man, there are like some really brilliant people out there who are really having fun with the medium right now. And because most like really smart people that I know, especially like comedians, but they have like a troll quality to them in the sense they just like to like see what happens if we fuck with this thing. And so like to suddenly have this thing that isn't that hard to manipulate.
Yeah.
Something that if all you have to do is mimic the form, you know what I mean? Mimic the cadence, mimic the, and there's like all kinds of YouTube videos of people like talking about how to game the system. And they're stupid and ridiculous because it feels nihilistic almost because there isn't any artistry to it. They just want to get more views to get money from TikTok. But the fact that you have this thing where you could easily camouflage yourself as it or hire someone to camouflage as the thing or deep fake somebody.
Well, that's then, all. Yeah, that's nefarious. All that.
And then
shit.
Start injecting into normie culture crazy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, what a delight. But if it's so cool.
But, you know, I mean, I think that's nefarious because I do take joy in, you know, goofing. Do you remember, like, boy, it was probably like 5 years ago now when I did a tweet where I said, oh, today I learned that legally in the United States, you can't have an Applebee's and a Chili's within a 5 mile radius of each other.
Yes.
And it caused like people, because that's another thing that I discovered with like, you know, having fun with people, because when people know they're right about something, like most people are just like, you know, they have a job with some idiot telling them what to do and they never have a say in the matter. They can never pipe up and be like, wait, no, I know this is wrong. Like I used to start before the internet or before smartphones, I would start arguments with people where about Mike Myers, I would say, my favorite Mike Myers character on Saturday Night Live was the making copies guy. Making copies, the Steve-O, the Steve Meister. And people would be like, no, that's not Mike Myers. But they could never remember Rob Schneider's name. They'd be like, it was another guy. And I would just argue with them. But like, my argument was so infuriating because I would just say,
yes.
I would just keep repeating. I'd say, no, it was Mike Myers. Remember, he'd be like, the Steve Meister, make it. And they're like, no, I remember the character, but it wasn't Mike Myers. And I go, no, it was Mike Myers. Because remember, he'd be like, oh, making copies. And I would just
wait, what's the Obama thing you used to do? Melania and.
Oh, yeah. Trump. I would say I'd be like, it's crazy to me, and I don't want to be conspiratorial, but I don't know how the press has never mentioned that Donald Trump and Barack Obama, that Donald Trump's wife and Barack Obama's daughter are both named Melania.
Yes!
and people just like, no, it's Malia, you know, and I'd go, no, I'm talking about his daughter, Melania. Like, when you just find that, like, when you can get yourself in the headspace of, you know, the kind of the best characters ever invented in comedy, the confident moron, like Danny McBride character or Steve Martin's characters, like when you just are this confident moron who just skirts around their argument, the point they're making, you're like, no, I know what you're saying, but I'm talking about how Donald Trump, his wife, and Barack Obama's daughter are both named Melania.
Dude, and that's art to me. To me, that is playing with a medium in a comedic way that is brand new. In the sense, like, you know, some of my favorite videos are people prank calling public access shows. Jesus, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And watching how angry they get, and yet they keep answering the fucking phone, and no one's calling to do a serious call. But that was like, you know, you still had to wait on hold to get in there. Now you have a direct pipeline into the consciousness of the zeitgeist, and nothing can stop you. And the algorithms fucks up sometimes and propels some madness that has been sprayed into the internet everywhere. And that is art. And the and toying with the like insane acceptance people have for what they see online. Like, dude, it's human fucking centipede out there, man. It's like someone will like read some take there. So basically the way it works is the at the very top of the human centipede, the person shitting in everyone else's mouths and who they're shitting in other people's mouths are these like outspoken people who say some kind of like edgelordy thing. This fills someone else with a sense of vengeance. At last, someone said the thing. Then they will take that idea, that concept, and they feel safe saying it now. And then they will say it in their own words. And then someone else will see that. And then they'll say it in their same words. And it's just shitting in someone's mouth. And then you're swallowing it, shitting it in the next person's mouth. And this is like what we're looking at, basically. It's like an entropic diarrhea echo that is going through everyone's fucking phones and computers constantly all day long. And whoa, dude, you can also just imitate, just get in there a little bit, have some fun. This is one of the things I love that you do.
It's finding a way around it. Like there's, you know, there's obvious ways to goof on things. And a lot of times it's not in the right spirit. Like it's mean spirited where it's got like a fuck you angle. So you have to find a playful way, which I think, you know, like the crank calls that you're talking about, which I'm going to take a moment to do a plug about talking about industrialists. I'm doing these new shows that I'm
talking about industrialists.
Well, I'm basically this is a hard road for me because I'm inventing a new form of comedy that I'm doing these live shows where I make calls on stage. I'm not done bowing yet. You have to do 7 bows.
I know.
I'm not trying to gas myself up too much, but I'm doing these live shows called After
Your Show
Into Light.
Is super fucking funny, dude. So I think you should.
It's great. And I think it's for, you know, and listen, I don't want to sound whatever, but, you know, it's like you've been around comedy enough. There's a lot of it's been infiltrated by business people who learn mechanics, like people who are like, I love comedians. I want to be a comedian, but they don't, you know, it's like I want to be Michael Jordan, too, but I don't have the natural ability that it takes. Whatever. This is a show for
you. I've always thought you do have the natural ability of Michael Jordan.
I can dunk.
You fucking crush me whenever we played in L.A., man. You were.
I can dunk from the free throw line.
That, by the way, is something is so weird to me. You don't film that because if people saw you playing basketball,
that's just for me.
Go ahead.
No, I'm doing these shows called Afternoon Delight. They're in the afternoon. They start at 4:20-ish, you know, whatever, just because that's a time. It's an early show because, like, listen, we're old now. We have kids. This is for, like, people who you come to the show. The show's over by, like, 6. So you can go out all night if you want to, or you can go home and be home at a decent hour. The show's early because I make phone calls on stage and I have guests that will come, like comedians or like magicians, people who I find entertaining. And the thing is that, you know, like if you have like the comics who will do well, I want funny people. You have to be, I'm not here to hear, I don't want you to come do your 7-minute set. Have a funny thing in the moment because then we're going to call some people and just have some fun. And it's not mean-spirited, like, you know, whatever. It's not Jerky Boys. It's we call people and we get into, you know, sometimes we're on the phone for 20 minutes with people because they start telling you a crazy story and you're having fun on stage and it's this weird social experiment. Oh. And I'm doing these shows.
Had a show yet where you don't get an interesting call or where, you know, when I was doing prank calls in college, that was always like, that was fun is like, cause you never know when one's going to hit, But sometimes you would have to really like keep calling before you got.
I've been very lucky where, because like right now you're limited to businesses. Nobody answers right. strange calls on their phone. Right. So you have to call businesses.
Right.
And I've been very lucky. The last show I did in Los Angeles, I'm doing one on the 21st. I think this will come out after this. I'm doing one this Sunday. So this will probably come out afterwards. But it's like, it's still enjoyable because it's like, I like having to keep, you know, it's like you're a plate spinner up there and you just have to keep the show moving. You have to keep people entertained. So if you're having bad calls, you're telling jokes, like whatever. You're just trying to keep, you're making,
right.
trying to keep people entertained yeah. with jokes or playing songs.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's like watching a tightrope act for the audience too, where they're just like, this is, oh, this is hilarious. This isn't working for him at this moment. But then it does, but then you do get a call. Like there was a call with whatever. I called like a GNC, a vitamin store or whatever. And got this kid on the phone. And then he got into this story about how he had sex with an old lady. He used to deliver appliances. And he's like, and I'm like, how old was this woman? And he's like, old. Like, and this kid, this is like a kid in his 20s. He's like, she was old. She had like a walker. And it was just like, and it's just like, you know, it was consensual, you know, like obviously you explore this and the audience is riveted. But I also have other things cooked up for, you know, like there's, you know, there's these other silly kind of playful things that I do to quote unquote prank the audience. Like, you know, whatever. I don't want to give too much away, but afternoondelightshow.com. I'm doing shows in Chicago, July 27th and 28th. And then I'm doing shows in Portland, August 10th and 11th. And Doug Stanhope will be my guest on those shows.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and I'm going to be seeing Ween August 8th and 9th. That's why I'm going to be in Portland. But afternoondelightshow.com. And this is, because going into this, and we talked on the phone for a long time yesterday, and I told you, I was like, you know, for the first time in my life, I want people to come to my shows. Right. I'm proud of what I'm doing.
You're excited about it.
Yes, because like I've just been slogging through doing what I think I should be doing and yeah. doing enough to get by, but always being frustrated in like, this isn't what I want to be doing. What the fuck? How do I get out of this? You know? Because
yeah,
then it
man.
Becomes your job too, where you're like,
yeah.
this is how I make money, by going on the fucking road and making enough. You know, I was never making a lot of money, but I was making as much money or a little bit more money than I would be making doing a job that I can get yeah. at this point in my life.
But that so sucks not looking, like if you're not really enjoying it, that's a bad feeling, man.
COVID was a great, that was the best thing about COVID for me, to give me, because there's no way out of it. When you start doing stand up and you're just like, yep, okay, I have a gig, great, I needed it, rent's paid, whatever. And then it's just like, you know, you get the emails from the improv or whatever the clubs around town and the shows that people book. And you're like, yeah, okay. I go and I tell jokes and uninspired, whatever. This is just what I do. And then when COVID happened, that's the first time in like 15 years that I had, you know, diarrhea, unstoppable for 8 days straight.
Dude, that was bad. That was weird. You had the weirdest COVID ever, dude. That's so, I mean, I know.
It like was the stomach best.
You love having diarrhea, though. Why?
Oh, I love it. It's better than an
why?
Orgasm.
Dude, why?
Love spraying.
I hate it.
It's better than an orgasm. I prefer.
It gives me cramps. It hurts sometimes.
It's like the old saying goes, brown squirting from the back is better than white squirting from the front. It feels better. It's more satisfying.
I mean, I've heard that so many times.
In your case, yellowish green squirting from the front. I know that you have that semen issue.
Yes, I do.
Discolored.
And it is getting darker.
You know, they sell like a Crest White Strips has a version now for semen.
Bleach. It's bleach. I'm not going to.
Well, no, it's like a piece of tape that you put over.
You know,
over
the way
head
I, if you
penis.
Don't like the way my semen looks or smells or tastes, because it has this, it does have a very like intense.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I'm just saying it's different.
Well, you always insinuated that to me, and it was always hurtful.
I'm sorry if it hurt your feelings. I just was.
Of course it did.
I was remarking.
Kick my ass at basketball, then you tell me my cum tastes like shit.
Well, in my defense, when we were playing basketball and then you dunked on me, when you did that dunk right in my face and you came in my mouth a little bit. Like, obviously, okay. I was
you were
more annoyed
me.
That you just dunked
me.
On me.
All right.
And I was
take
just
your
like,
pants
get your,
off.
I was like, get your shitty,
you
want to
know what it's
tasting
like to
semen
dunk?
Out of my
hey,
face.
Hey, you want to know what it's like to dunk? Take your pants off and I'll put you on my shoulders and you could put the ball in. And I'm like,
well,
why
those,
would,
no. You
why would your... I sit in the front? Shouldn't I get on the back? That's the first thing I said. And you're like, no.
I'm not talking about that time. We were playing. You wear those little tiny shorts when we play.
And shoes, tiny shoes.
Which is odd to me. I wasn't going to bring that up, but it's why would you wear shoes that are like four sizes too small
you told
when
me
you're
to.
Playing sports?
Because your stupid fucking basketball rules. No one understood that. Why were you making us all wear weird tiny fucking shoes?
I didn't do that. I just said dress how you want. And then
no,
I
you
made
didn't.
A chart.
No, you didn't. No,
yes,
you
I did.
No, you didn't.
I said, it's like, I said,
oh
dress
God.
However you want. And here's a chart. You can select from this chart. Here are some ideas. And I did put like, you know, here's an idea for Duncan, tiny shoes, you know, that
okay,
thing
so
that
Percy comes to play. He's one of our best players on my fucking team. He is wearing regular sneakers. You made him cry.
I didn't make him cry.
You humiliated him, man.
He cried. But it wasn't, I mean, listen, if you're playing basketball and you cry during a game, it's not... What is it? Is it because that one person, the actions of one person? Like, I mean, I didn't punt.
Dude,
I didn't do
every
anything.
Every single person who was in your league at some point cried. You broke us down, dude. You broke us down.
It's an intense game.
Well, it doesn't have to be that intense. I mean.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah. And the sky doesn't need to be blue and, you know, whatever. Okay. Teslas don't need to be electric. What?
It's
like,
gross.
Your arguments of like things
dunked,
don't have to be things
watching,
don't have to be this way.
Dunking is cool, and your form is incredible. But that every time you dunk, did you really have to do diarrhea? Did you have to like
I'm human.
Spray
I'm a
diarrhea?
Human being. Human beings
As you
have bodily functions.
Launch up in the air. It's so gross that sick arc of hot dog diarrhea as you slam the ball down, and then there's diarrhea all over the court that gets on our shoes.
There's a guy that mops it up. There's a guy that mops it up.
Oh, yeah. He didn't want to
Victor.
Do that.
Victor
never
loves
want-
it. Victor, that's his job. That's why we all pay. That's why we all pay that into that account. The,
you kept
for 50%
of that shit.
Yeah, because I have to go get the, I get
all
the,
right.
I get the
I'm
diarrhea
not gonna do
mops.
This. I don't want to get back
Victor
into it.
I pay Victor out of that. I use that to inflate the basketballs.
Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight. Go see Afternoon Delight.
AfternoonDelightShow.com. Check it out. Chicago, Portland, and Los Angeles. You just missed a show.
You didn't have to tell them they missed the show. It's kind of lame.
Did you change your name? Because remember when you were really into basketball and you changed? I remember you went to the courthouse. Maybe you didn't have your credit card, but you were going to change your name to Dunking Trussell because you... I taught you how to dunk.
Yeah, I was so excited that day. And I went in there and they have a fucking basketball court. And that's just why they call it the courthouse. A lot of people don't know that. And they're like, let me see you dunk. And because you can't change your name to Dunking or any version of dunk or anything unless you can actually dunk, which is why they have to have the basketball court. Well, anyway, I got so fucking nervous. And because I was in a hurry...
Yeah,
I put on the shoes that I was wearing when we were playing the night before, and it was like they were still moist because you had just had like you were just doing your thing and there was diarrhea.
I wasn't doing my thing. I wasn't doing my thing. You left me in my humidifier when we were smoking cigars the night before.
There was diarrhea all over my shoes.
We were doing no. That was cigar juice from the humidifier. You know that. You love my
cigar juice.
Okay, guess what? You're banned from my cigar room from now on.
Good. I never want to go back to your fucking cigar room.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I'm sure as soon as the podcast ends, my phone's going to ring. You're begging me.
I slipped. because there was still wet diarrhea on my heels, and I fucking like didn't make the dunk, and everyone in the courtroom laughed at
me. Well, why are you wearing high heel shoes? Why are you wearing the high heel shoes?
I was in a fucking hurry, dude. I've been waiting for that appointment for months. You know,
okay, so you don't have time to get the right shoes on. I mean, this sounds like a you problem. This is okay. A Duncan
it's
problem.
It's always someone else's problem for you, isn't it?
No, with you, it is. No, you're always playing the blame game.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. This will never happen again. Afternoon Delight, Brendan Walsh.
That's the end of the show?
You can find it in Pennsylvania. He's going to be in the Chicago House
Chicago
of
and
Laughter. He's going to be at the Detroit Hall, and you can find him at the William Blythe Coleridge Hall at Disneyland. Go see the show. Tickets are $500
each. The Jingleheimer Schmidt Theater.
Are you doing meet and greets?
I do meets, but I don't do greets.
You should start doing greets.
I don't have social anxiety. I'm fine with meeting you, but I can't. It's just,
say hello, dude. People got tickets to your fucking show. Say hello.
So? I bought tickets to see Top Gun. Did Tom Cruise come over and shake my hand?
Let me just pull this up real quick to see how much you're charging for meet and greets. Oh, my God.
No, they're meets.
It's
just meets. They're not meet and greets.
You're charging $400 to silently let someone shake your hand while you're quiet.
No, it's $4. Maybe I got to talk to my web guy. He didn't put the decimal point in.
Yeah, talk to your web guy.
It's $4
for the
meet.
Afternoon Delight. You can do a meet with Brendan. You don't. You're the best, man. Have a good day. Thanks for doing the show. That was Brendan Walsh, everybody. Make sure you go and see his show, Afternoon Delight. All the links you need to find that will be at DuncanTrussell.com. Definitely check out his podcast and pray for him. And for all of us, so that we can finally be harmonized, unified, and transcend the boundaries of time, space, and become gods. See you next week.